As our worship services began, I was thinking, sitting in the back, our singing sounds so good this morning. And then when I stepped up here, the singing is so much better up here in the front. Great singing here this morning, well-worded prayers, good comments at the table. And now we have an opportunity to open God's Word and consider a portion of it and its application to our lives here today. As we've been announcing, I want to talk about getting back to school. And as we've announced, this is a sermon primarily for our younger people. It is that time of the year. Many of our area public schools are starting back this week. It's an exciting time of year for the students, for the children. It can be an exciting time of the year for teachers. I was talking with Julia. She's starting her job teaching this year, and so this is all brand new for her. But let's be honest, it can also be an exciting time of the year for the parents, right? It is exciting. I remember one of the most exciting parts of starting back to school was getting to go and get my school supplies for the year. But back then, when we went to the store, they didn't have all of the handouts for all the school supplies for all the classes and all the schools. I remember my mother had to go to the school, and the list were put on the door at the school, and she'd have to copy it down by hand. And then we would go to the store, and we would get the pencils. And in elementary school, I'd want a pen. Well, you couldn't use a pen in elementary school. I'd still campaign for it, but I wouldn't get it. I'd get the notebooks that I needed, not the big ones, just the ones that I needed. And of course, crayons. I always asked for the big box with the sharpener on the front. I never got one of those. I always got the one that was just necessary for the class. And backpacks and lunch boxes, we didn't get a new one every year. If the old one still worked, that's the one that you use. I had the same lunch box all the way through elementary school. When I got to middle school or junior high, I decided a brown paper bag would be better there because Sesame Street wasn't really the thing that I wanted to be known for as a new student in the junior high. But it's an exciting time of the year. With those supplies, I'd get them home, put my name on them all. I was equipped. I was ready to start the school year. Young people, we all want you to do well in school this year. We want you to make good grades. We want you to excel academically. But you know more than that. We all want you to succeed spiritually this year. We want you to grow spiritually in the coming 12 months, just as we expect you'll be growing academically. We want you to overcome the challenges that you're going to face as you're in school. And we want you to produce fruit as you're overcoming those challenges. But to do this, you're going to need some supplies. You're going to need some spiritual supplies that can help you get through this time as you face and overcome these challenges. Some spiritual supplies that I want to encourage you to take with you to school every day. And you know, this applies for the homeschoolers as well as for those who are going to public school. Here's some supplies that we all need as we're going back to school. I want to take a look at four of them, just four of them. First, you're going to need your faith. You're going to need your faith as you go back to school this year. You remember the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6, right? Where you have all of these pieces of armor. And each of them goes together to give that soldier full coverage that he needs. Remember, one of the pieces of armor was that shield of faith. In Ephesians 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Let me ask, what would happen if a soldier went out without a shield? What would happen if a soldier went out to battle and he didn't have a shield? Was he fully protected? No. No, he could get hurt. He could get injured. He could even die in battle. You need to have your shield, young people. All of us need to have our shield of faith. Your faith is your unshakable belief and trust in God, in His Word. That's what your faith is. That you believe in God and you believe in the Bible, the things that are taught in the Bible, and you believe it without a doubt. You know that God is real, you know that He is true, and you know the things that He has given you in His Word are true. So when we talk about your faith, it is that unshakable conviction. You believe in God and you believe in His Word. Well, this is necessary for you because you're going to be tested when you go to school. Your faith is going to be tested when you go to school. If you ever get picked on, if you ever get made fun of at school, if you ever get hurt by someone, your faith is going to be tested with that. If you hear people making fun of God at school, you hear someone telling a joke about Jesus, making fun of people who go to church, or making fun of people who believe in the Bible, that's going to test your faith. That's going to challenge your faith. And you need to be ready to withstand that. You need to be able to be ready to take that, to stand up against that. Seeing classmates doing things that you know they're not supposed to do. And that happens. Maybe they're using language that you know they shouldn't be using. Or maybe they're involved in things, dangerous things, sinful things. That's going to challenge your faith when you see people your age doing those things. Or even when they try to pressure you to do those things as well, your faith's going to be challenged even more. As you're older and going to some more advanced classes, you're going to hear teachers teach things that contradict the Bible. All of these things are going to challenge you. They're going to challenge your faith, and you know what? These things can happen to homeschooled children as well. Homeschoolers a lot of times go to co-ops, or they go to things where there are other children there from other families who don't share the same exact convictions regarding the Scriptures that your parents do and that you do. And so you're going to be challenged by that. But remember, your faith is your unshakable belief and trust in God and the ways of God. And if you hold to that, it's going to help you to say no when you're challenged to do those things that aren't right. And it's going to establish you when you hear things that otherwise would cause you to doubt, is God really there? I mean, my good friend, that one of his parents got sick and passed away, and he's so sad. Where was God in all of that? You know, adults are challenged with that all the time. You may be challenged with that too, or you may hear some teacher saying, we didn't come from God. We all descended from animals that descended from one-celled organisms in a pool of water. And that's going to challenge you, but if you have your faith, and your faith is strong, you won't be filled with doubts. You'll do those things that are right. But it's important for you to strengthen your faith. Your faith, just like your physical body, has to be exercised to be strong. Your faith has to be exercised as well. So you need to strengthen your faith. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. As we're turning there, I'll make you mindful of something said about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. It says that Abraham was strengthened in his faith, and he held to his conviction in God's Word and God's promises. So our faith can be strengthened. It can be made strong. We've got to exercise it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "But reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." You need to strengthen your faith. You need to exercise your faith. And you know how you're going to be able to do that? The same way mom and dad do that. The same way that all of us strengthen our faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The more time you spend in the Scriptures, reading, meditating, memorizing, studying it, the stronger your faith is going to be. So I challenge you, young people, to read your Bible every day. I give the same challenge to the adults here. Read your Bible every day. And it'd be good for you to start the day off with some scripture reading. Now, I remember what school mornings used to be like. When you're getting up in the morning, getting ready to go to school, that's kind of a rush time, isn't it? It can be kind of hectic around the house doing that and getting your clothes and getting your hair and your face washed and getting your lunch put in your Sesame Street lunchbox and getting ready to go out the door. It can be a hectic time, but take just a moment to read one or two verses of Scripture in the morning. Polish up that shield before you go out the battle. Make sure it's ready to go. Spend some time reading your Bible and spend some time in the assemblies of the church. That's where your parents' faith is strengthened. That's where my faith is strengthened. That's where your faith will be strengthened as well. So assemble with your family as often as you can. Attend all the services that you can. I want to tell you something, young people. You encourage us, right? Mom and dad, right, adults? These young people, you encourage us. When we see you every Sunday and every Wednesday, when we see you coming out of that door knowing that you've studied down the hallway, you encourage us. Let us encourage you. Be here. Be here, and we're going to encourage each other as you go forward through this school year. And you exercise your faith and you make your faith strong. So read your Bible. Be here for the assemblies, for your Bible classes. But one more thing about your faith. You need to share your faith with others. That's another way to keep your faith strong, is to share your faith with other people. To talk with your classmates about how much you enjoy the Bible. Talk with your classmates about what Jesus means to you. Talk to others about how special it is to go to your Bible classes here or to attend services here. And then you know what you do? You invite them to come with you. Invite them to come with you. And I know that that works because some of you are already doing that and you're successful with that. I've seen you bring your friends. I've seen you do that. And guess what? That encourages me. It encourages all of us. Keep doing that. Keep sharing your faith. Invite them to come to Bible class with you. Invite them to read the Bible with you. Or to read a section of the Bible together and then talk about it online. Or talk about it the next day at school. Share your faith. Your faith will serve you well. It will give you that grounding that you need to get through. To keep that shield strong. But you need to exercise it, and you need to share it. So I would encourage you, number one, the first supply that you need for this school year is you need your faith. Your faith. But let's move on. There's something else I believe that you're going to need in order to have a successful school year, not only as a student, but also as a godly young person, and that is a willingness to work hard. If you want to have a good school year, you need to develop and use a good work ethic. That's what some of us adults call it, a good work ethic. And the Bible encourages this. The Bible encourages us to do whatever it is that we do, to do it the best that we can. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, Solomon wrote, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." Now, that doesn't mean that you can go out and you can do sinful things as long as you do them well. No, we need to understand the limitations of this admonition. But what it's teaching you, young person, is that what God expects of you for your entire life is for you to do the best that you can, whatever it is that you do. The adults here are involved in a lot of different things in our vocations, a lot of different activities. We've learned to do our best. School for you is not only a time for you to learn new subjects, but school is also a time for you to develop your work habits. It's a time for you to establish and develop just how it is that you're going to approach everything else in life. And if you decide at school that you're going to get by with just doing a halfway effort, or you're going to cheat in order to pass, well, guess what? You're going to take that same approach because it's the only thing you've learned. It's how you've gotten by through school. And you're going to take that approach to work, and you're not going to work very long. Are you going to take that approach to everything else that you do as an adult, and you're setting yourself up for failure? Right now, while you're young, you need to learn how to work hard. So while you're in class and you're doing work in class, you do your best. When you have homework to do at home, you do your best. If you've got a special project that you've got to work on, like those reports that are due in a couple of weeks, well, you get on it and you do your best. You don't wait till the night before and go print off a Wikipedia article and turn that in as your report. That's not going to work. If that does work for you, I want to talk to your teacher. More than that, your parents want to talk to your teacher. That's not going to work. So if you've got something special to do, you give it your best. Let's think about sports. A lot of you play sports. You do your best. Well, you need to do that same with school. You need to do that with everything that you do. Develop that habit now. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul writes and says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." This is a passage we adults take, and we apply it to our jobs, but we apply it to everything. We do it, and we do it not as if we're doing it for other people, but we do it as if we're doing it for the Lord. Take that attitude towards your schoolwork. Hey, I'm doing this for the Lord. I need to do my very best. But the admonition here is to do it heartily. And the original language there, it literally means with all your heart. Put all your heart into it. Give your entire self, your entire heart to doing these things. Whether it be your classwork, special projects, sports, involvement in clubs, after school activities, whatever it is, I want you to do your best, and I want you to do it with the best attitude that you can. Whether you're homeschooled, whether you go to public school, it doesn't matter. God wants you to do your very best. There's something else that I want you to take with you. You need to take your faith. You need to take a commitment to work hard and to do the best that you can. And you need to take some respect with you when you go to school. This world is without respect. There's a lack of respect in this world. We can see it in our government. When our leaders are not respecting one another and how they talk about each other and treat one another on the news for the rest of the country to see, it's no wonder with leaders acting like that, it's no wonder that that filters down and other people are acting disrespectful as well. The NFL is getting started. Some preseason games have started, and every year there are some new rules with the NFL, and one of the new rules this year, they are clamping down on taunting. And if you are guilty of taunting an opponent, then you're going to get penalized for that. And if the same player is guilty of that two times in one game, he's out of the game. Not only that, he's subject to a fine from the league. What the league has said, we've had enough of the disrespect being shown on the field to the players. And that's a good thing. Now, if only the league would say we've had enough disrespect shown to our flag and our country by the players, I could really get behind that. But here they are saying we've had enough disrespect. The word respect means to hold in honor or high esteem. That is, you don't treat them like you're equal. You treat them like they are better than you. The idea also involves showing someone that you care about them, that they really matter to you, that they're important to you, that they care, that you care about them, you care about their property, so you're not going to steal it. You're not going to tear it up. And you care about their feelings. You care about how they feel so you don't hurt their feelings. Respect has all of these different ideas involved in it. Jesus addressed this so very well with just one verse. One verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You treat others the way you want to be treated. So you respect your classmates. You respect others at school. But I want to talk specifically, young people. God wants you to learn to respect adults. That's one thing that God expects of you. That's one thing that's important to God, young people, is that you learn to respect adults. And it starts in the home. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So it starts in the home. You need to respect your mom and dad. You need to honor them. You need to obey them. But it's more than just your mom and dad. What God wants is for you to take that respect that you learn for your mom and dad, and you show it to every adult. You show it to every adult. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, now these instructions are given in the context of here's what elders are supposed to do, and then it's followed up with the congregation's response to the elders. But I believe the truth can be applied in a general way. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Those who are younger need to submit to, need to honor, need to respect those who are older. That used to be commonplace in our world. It used to be commonplace in our country, long before you were born. But it can still be found. It can still be seen. It can still be heard. Isn't it refreshing to see young people respectful to those who are older? God wanted this even from Israel of old. Tucked away in the book of Leviticus, at chapter 19 and verse 32, Leviticus 19, verse 32 says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. What's the idea there? The idea there is that you do not just push aside those who are older. You honor them because of their age, because of their wisdom, because of their experience. You honor them. Young people, God expects you to respect those who are older. How do you show this respect? When you're at school, how do you show this respect? I think the most basic way you show this respect is by paying attention to your teacher while you're in school. Giving your teacher your attention. That's how you show respect to your teacher. I know that your teacher is not the main character of a video game with all these lights and noises going on, and you've got the controller and you can make them do whatever you want them to do. I know that they're not that, but still you need to give them your attention. Give your teacher your attention. Pay attention in class. Do what they tell you to do without talking back. How ugly that is to hear a child talk back to an adult. That's disrespectful. Don't ever do that. Do what you're told to do in class without talking back. Follow the rules for your classroom. And those will be established the first day of school. Follow those rules. That's how you respect your teachers. And saying things like please and thank you and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, that's also how you show respect. So that's what God would have you to do. When you go to school next week, take your manners with you. Whether your school is at a building some blocks away from your house, or if it's at the kitchen table in your house, wherever it is, you take your manners with you. Have some respect. And finally, I want to suggest one supply that you need to be successful this year is kindness. Just that, like we need more respect in this world, we also need more kindness in this world. And chances are you need more kindness at your school, and you'll probably see examples of the need for kindness your first day at school. Be the one who provides that kindness. Be the source of that kindness. Let your light shine, not just here, not just in your classrooms here, but let your light shine in your classrooms at school. Be that kind person. In Colossians chapter 3, we read this passage as our Bible, as our worship service was starting this morning. In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells these Christians, there are some things that you've got to put off, and there are some things that you've got to put on, like changing clothes. You've got some habits about you that are not right, just like you're wearing some clothes that are dirty. You need to take those off, and you need to put on clean clothes. You need to get rid of the bad attitudes, and you need to put on the good attitudes. Well, here in verse 12, there's a list of them given. I'm looking at just one of them in our study right now. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Among those other things, put on kindness. The word here for kindness is translated from a Greek word that several times in the New Testament is used to describe God Himself. So think about that. You want to be like God? Be kind. Because God is kind. So be like God. Be like Jesus. Be kind. And then a definition given, or a description given of kindness, are these words here. Being helpful, generous, tender, upright, and good to others. Let's make some application with these words here. First, be helpful. Be helpful in your class. Don't be a bother to your teacher. That's an easy thing to do. Be disrespectful, be disobedient, be a headache to your teacher. Don't do that. Don't do that for your teacher. Be helpful for your teachers. Volunteer when they ask for volunteers. Follow the rules in your class and in your school. Be helpful and generous. Share with others. If you've got a classmate, if you've got a friend, and they need something and you've got two of them, share. If you've got one, share back and forth if you can. Be generous. Be willing to share. Those supplies that you buy at the beginning of the year, you can always get more of those if you need them. Don't tell, but I've got lots of paper and pencils in my office. If you need one, I'll share with you. But you be willing to share with others. What's the other word? Tender. Be tender. Don't be harsh. Don't be mean. Don't be rude. But you need to be tender. Be a good friend. You know, when the school year started, a lot of things were exciting to me. One was getting my school supplies, minus the new lunchbox. I tried, but there was no new lunchbox coming. But another exciting part of starting school was to see who was new. Who are the new kids? And likely, there's going to be someone new in your class if you're going to public school. Can you imagine how hard it is to be the new person? To step into a school full of hundreds of people that you don't know, or into a class full of 25 to 30 people that you don't know, you be the one to step forward to them and say, hey, my name is such and such. My name is Heath. Don't tell them that. Tell them your name. Say, my name is Heath, and I'm glad to see you. Would you come and sit by me at the lunch table? Would you come and join us? Make some friends. Be that person. Be that person. Be tender. Don't be harsh. Don't be rude. Here's something else, young people. Be patient. Be patient. Yes, there'll be some classmates at your school that are using words that they shouldn't be using. Or maybe even in a homeschool co-op, that are using words that you know they shouldn't be using, that are misbehaving, acting in a way that you know they shouldn't be, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Be patient with them. They may not be coming from a home that is as good as yours. They may not have a mom and dad at home who are trying to raise them in a godly way. They may be good people. They just need to be polished up a little bit. So be patient with them and share your faith with them and help to be the kind of friend that they need you to be. So be kind, be patient, be gentle. It says upright. Upright means honest. It means you're not crooked, but you're honest. You're doing what is right. So don't lie at school. You'll get caught. Don't cheat at school. You'll get caught. Don't do those. Do the things that are right and maintain your good reputation. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Maintain your reputation. Sometimes we remember the bad things that people do, don't we? You don't want to be remembered for the bad things you do. So do those things that are right. Be upright and be a good person. Be friendly and be good to others. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. So be friendly. Be a good friend. Be a good person this year as you are going to school. Oh, there are a lot of other things we could add to this list, but these are some of the supplies that I would like for you to take with you to school every day. Again, whether that's in a building, a bus ride away from your house, or if it's right there around your kitchen table or another room in your house, you need to take these supplies with you. You need to take your faith. You need to take a desire to work hard. You need to be respectful, and you need to be kind. But here's the thing about these kinds of supplies. Unlike a crayon or a pencil or a piece of paper, you can't borrow this from your classmates. You can learn this from your parents, but you can't even borrow it from your parents. You've got to have your own. You've got to have your faith. You've got to have your work ethic. You've got to have your desire to be respectful. You've got to have a tender heart that is kind to others. You need to develop these on your own. So we wish you the best as you start this new school year. We want you to excel. We want you to do your best academically. But what's more important to those of us who are here in this room, we want you to grow spiritually this year and be a godly young man or woman. Adults, you need to be setting the right example. You and I need to be setting the right example for these young people. Are we strengthening our faith? Are we sharing our faith with others? What's our work ethic like? Because these young people are watching. Are we respectful to one another? Are we kind to others? It may be you realize there's some parts in your life that you need to work on, that you need to improve. And if you can take care of that between you and God with some prayer and some hard work, then do it. But if you need to make things right in a public way, then the invitation is for you. Or if you need to become a Christian today, you need to confess your faith in Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized in water to have those sins washed away, the invitation is for you as well. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song?